coming out of the pandemic, I just see smaller churches willing to be more creative, willing to get to the point of saying, we got to engage our community in a different way because, well, what do we have to lose?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Rural Renewal Podcast. We're excited to have y'all with us today. We're going to talk to Chris Backert a little bit later on, who is the director of both Fresh Expressions, but also Ascent, the Ascent movement, which the Rural Renewal Podcast definitely has connections to as well, and our Gather to Scatter event, which is happening in Boise, Idaho. We're recording this on April 30th, so it's happening. By the time you hear this, it'll be happening in the month that you're in May. We'll have there's all sorts of details about that we're going to talk about, but mostly and also talk about big picture stuff with Ascent. So if you've been hearing about Ascent or if you haven't, it's worth hearing about. So we're excited about that. But before we get to that, Kathleen, a couple of things we did just kind of want to talk about a little bit on the podcast. I don't know what happens at your church, your rural church, but you know, one of the things that I think many things have kind of come and go in rural church circumstances. But one of the things that definitely seems to stick with churches is some sort of either formalized or definitely sometimes can be informalized version of a coffee hour after church. Right?
Oh, absolutely. We only do coffee hour once a month.
However, any formal sense. Yes.
In a formal sense. But it's not unusual for people to stay 20, 30, 40 minutes after worship and spend time together. And sometimes they talk about things like the weather. But then also times they talk about real faith issues and how to live out their faith in our context.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we have found to be true, and that I hope you all value, especially if it happens at your church over the years, is giving space for that conversation to happen. One of the things that can happen in our church sometimes is that sometimes at the beginning of church it's complicated to get people into worship mode. We don't have music playing or anything like that as people come into the service. I know some churches do that. That does sort of help people get focused on worship, but we don't. And sometimes you kind of have to, it's like corralling students at the beginning of class. And by students, I mean like kindergarten students. I only say that because I'm as guilty. Sometimes I need to.
So oh, for sure.
Kathleen is, it's always tapping on my shoulder. Like we start at 10. And you know, it's 9:58. We really need to go pray before it. Cause one thing we don't want to neglect is that prayer before worship. And it's like, oh yeah, we really do need to go do that now. And I've definitely done that to Kathleen as well over the years. We value that time. It's incredibly important. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think, a lot of pastoral care happens right after worship as people are coming through the line. And last Sunday was no exception. You know, someone had a real life issue and she was struggling with it or trying to figure out how to like go forward with this issue. And, we started talking to her and then another couple came over and we started talking about, you know, just how we live out our faith in our context. Cause we don't, I mean, most everybody around us are not Christians. And so sometimes it's hard to know how to live our life.
Yeah. Just how to navigate what that means.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it was just a reminder of how important and vital that time is and to try not to short circuit it. And to embrace it as a church. And I think the small church, it's a place where that happens very naturally because, over time, people they know each other. I think it's when a lot of the best, not just pastoral kind of conversations happens, but church member to, church member to church member or church, you know, person there, those conversations best happen in those times. So, and certainly sometimes, food can be added into that or coffee. We always have coffee, at church, but, at least at our church, but food is only like Kathleen said, once a month we actually do the food, but the conversation there is so vital and so important. And I would even say this, we often said this about Sunday school. We do an adult Sunday school class right before church. And oftentimes, you know, it's most of that gathering of people together. I think obviously there's a portion of it that is, you know, diving into scripture and understanding what the Bible is saying, but it's the conversation that happens around that, right? People can dive into scripture at home. They can listen. We have access to incredible resources all over the place in terms of getting to understand our Bible better, knowing how it might apply to our lives in kind of a technical sort of way. But the thing that you don't have at home is a setting that empowers you to talk with your with someone that you trust because you've gone to church with them for years, you've been friends with them for years, or maybe maybe sometimes they're a person you don't even agree with on a board at church for years, but you can have a conversation with them about kind of some of that nitty gritty. How does my faith work out in this circumstance? And a lot of those conversations are not, that's not what happens a lot of times on Sunday after church. Like don't think that our church is full of people having important, like, how do I figure out how to love my neighbor in this situation, conversation after church. Sometimes they do. A lot of times it's like, hey, you know, what are you going to do this afternoon? Well, we're going for a hike, or, you know, and those conversations are important too. But I think sometimes it's this wonderful, unprogrammed time where people have space to have those conversations. And I know I'll tell you, I mean, I'm both Kathleen and I, when you put us through a Myers-Briggs experiment, test out as kind of slightly extroverted. We're not extreme extroverts, but we're definitely slightly extroverted. I know that even myself, certainly by the end of a service, you know, there's a lot going on, especially in a small church. Often if you're a pastor in a small church, you have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of things you're trying to think about as you get through that time. You've probably just preached. And then you're trying to have conversations with people. Whatever you need to do in your own dealing with that morning, don't devalue that time. I think it can be just as important as the way that you've thought through what happens during a service. And certainly we really have found that time to be valuable over the years. Like I said, last Sunday was a great example of that for us. We just happened to have somebody asked an important question, and it led to a good 10, 15 minute conversation with the person who asked it, and then with a couple other people who kind of happened to overhear kind of what we were talking about, and just really important stuff to think about in terms of how to deal with our faith. Don't short circuit that kind of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think anytime we can create space for unprogrammed conversation, I think is great. And I think we should value that and honor those times that we can spend together. And whether or not it's really important stuff or if it's just real life stuff, I think both are important as we grow together.
Yeah. One caution I would give, at least if you're like me, you need to, and even Kathleen, who is the scheduler in our household. If someone has something they need, like you to remember to do, tell them to text you. Maybe you are amazing and wonderful. And if you are, this is like a true gifting from the Holy Spirit. But if you're able to remember what somebody tells you, in a couple of days, we should do this or this thing needs to happen. And yeah, those are always details that I'm not always terrible at. And Kathleen's usually amazing at remembering that kind of stuff. But right after church is like the worst time. But
no.
And it's good because you don't want that stuff to happen. You want the conversation
to happen. And they've started to learn that they need to do that because someone at church, she was her and her husband, who are a part of our church, they're having a big anniversary coming up and they want to renew their vows and they want to celebrate, which we think is amazing. It's amazing.
We're excited. Super excited about it.
They want to do it at 1 o'clock and they decided they wanted to do it at 2 o'clock. And she's like, we're going to change it to 2 o'clock. I will text you. And I was like, thank you.
And she did text us. So now she I will did. Not forget. So if anybody from our church is listening, just as a subtle reminder, just text us afterwards. We'll hear. It's not like I don't want, if you have something you're like, we need to do this thing. It's okay to tell me, but don't expect that your pastor is going to remember that later on Sunday afternoon. So send him a quick text. We live in an amazing time where you can just text that kind of information to people. So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this was a great conversation about church. However, we don't want to take up too much time because our conversation with Chris Backert was great. So without further ado, we're going to listen to Chris Backert. Today, we're welcoming Chris Backert, who's the Senior Director of Fresh Expressions. However, today he is here to talk to us about something else that's kind of related. It's called Ascent, And so, Chris, thanks for coming and joining us this morning.
Hey, it's great to be here with you guys and just to see you in this format. Normally, I'm talking to you on the phone or on a Zoom screen, so this is just slightly different. So,
yeah, it's the same but different, right?
So, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what Ascent is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I have just been fortunate to be part of helping start a lot of things over the course of time that I've been in ministry. So, you know, that began by, I was at a couple of churches early in my career that didn't have youth ministry or didn't have a young adult ministry. And I was able to help get those things off the ground in those settings. Then I helped plant a couple of churches and then helped other churches plant churches. And then out of that, I started a church planting network and then started Fresh Expressions, started another ministry called Missio Alliance that continues to be flourishing today, even though I've not been a part of it for quite a number of years. And so just all throughout my my career, I've just been able to be part of getting things off the ground. And so that's probably what's most important about me related to what we're talking about today. And because what happened, it's probably been about 8 years ago, honestly, now, but that we all know there was a significant bump in the road in the middle of the last 8 years. And so, but about 8 years ago, there was a couple of denominational leaders that got together and they just began to chat about kind of where the future of church ministry was going. And because Fresh Expressions, at least in our first iteration, I'd say from 2012 till 2020, was so focused on working with, denominational bodies, whether they be associations or conferences, synods, dioceses, districts. And so because we were so focused on working with denominational groups as part of our calling and strategy, I just happened to be in relationship to a number of these people. And they began to get together and to discuss like the challenges of mission in North America from a kind of a macro perspective. And here's how I would explain that. For pretty much all of kind of the history of mission and the growth of the church in the United States. And I think this is also mostly true for Canada. Most of the kingdom expansion and witness has happened in relationship to denominational families, right? So to put that like really straightforward, 50 years ago, there was like only a few non-denominational churches, right? And so most of the growth of the church in North America, the institutional presence, when new churches need to be planted, when new ministry needed to be started, right? That all happened through denominational families and denominational structures, right? Well, everybody knows that somewhere since about 1990, maybe 2000, but somewhere in that period of time, like denominational families really began to kind of pivot from being the epicenter of life in the North American church to kind of having a more dispersed participation. Some of that is because of the growth of the non-denominational kind of movement in the U.S. and Canada. And the other part of that is just the challenges facing denominational families and communities and more historic churches. And there's a lot that we could say about all of that. But basically, people begin to get together and say, you know, the Great Commission in North America has largely grown and expanded and multiplied and been fulfilled because of denominational communities. And yet here we are in this period of contraction, right? Between, again, sometime in the mid to late 90s until I'm just going to say 2016, 17, 18, right? We're in this period of contraction and we're beginning to recognize like What's getting lost is the Great Commission. Because as most denominational bodies have kind of shrunk, or congregations have gotten older, or churches have closed, and they've been squeezed, what usually gets sort of displaced is the outward expansion and expression of that denominational family, right? So, which is kind of ironic, because almost every denominational group in North America started with the outward expression. Like, the churches came together for the sake of something outside of themselves. And then here we are in this period of contraction, when they're faced with those decisions, you know, they mostly choose to kind of think, how do we maintain what we have versus grow what we don't have? And so people began to get together and say, but we can't lose the Great Commission. And so is there somewhere, somehow, that we need kind of another way of being connected, another movement that is specifically focused on the Great Commission? Well, as these things are, they take lots of conversation, and it usually takes far longer than anyone wants to admit for things to come together. And finally, in about late 2019, this group, which represented probably about 5 to 10 different denominational groups, some mission agencies, some sort of flagship churches, felt like we had kind of a galvanizing momentum that we could move forward with. And then, of course, it was 2020. And with the pandemic, all of that kind of got put on the wayside. But eventually, the group came back together and said, do we really want to do this? And the answer was yes. And so over the last year, they asked me as a part of this group if I would sort of take the lead in helping to get what's now called the Ascent Movement off the ground and like to the next place. And so that's where we are. So what Ascent really is about is connecting the church in North America, really for the purpose again of the Great Commission. So we're trying really to grow the Great Commission again in North America and beyond, and to try to do that in a connectional and a cooperative way, but outside of sort of the boundaries and markers of kind of historic church body and polities. So that's what we're about. And if I was to kind of put that in another kind of straightforward way, for so long, the church in America and the Great Commission, therefore, in North America has been organized by polity, right? Whether you have a free church polity, or an Episcopal or bishop polity, or a Presbyterian polity, or some variation in between, right? And what we are finding is that polity is a weak tent pole to hold up the big tent of churches working together. And I think you see that playing out month over month, year over year, over the last couple of years. It's playing out this week. At the United Methodist General Conference, what you're seeing is polity can't hold up the weight of the big tent. And it will play out this summer at the Southern Baptist Convention. And so what really holds up, you know, the tent of churches working together on kind of a bigger scale is an aligned theology and missiology. And that's really what we're trying to come around in the Ascent Movement.
Yeah, that I mean, just as a local church pastor, that resonates very much with me, and certainly within our in our kind of tent as American Baptists, and in our region, which has felt kind of connected as we have. Our region has been more connected in the last few years, I would say, than when we first kind of came into ministry here in Southern Vermont. Our region happens to be Vermont, New Hampshire. But anyways, we have found that it really was mission and this idea of a shared movement forward that has given some of that connection back that that I think had dissipated. We're really excited about Ascent. I think it's good to hear. I know it's one of these things that I think a lot of pastors and from all certain and churchgoers as well from all sorts of different places have felt frustrated with how are we moving the church forward with a new vision for how more people can come to Christ and come to you know the kind of relationship that transforms them and their communities that we're all hoping for. So yeah, really excited.
Well, and I think that what I encounter Again, having the opportunity, really the privilege, to work with church leaders from across the country who come from different, I'd say denominational or polity or historic backgrounds is I think that just one of the things that's unique about our time is no matter what group I'm in, people have the same experience of feeling dislocated from their own group. And often for the same reasons. Now they're dislocated in different directions, but I think that's one of the fascinating things about, I mean, I think this is a cultural issue as a whole, but you know, everybody feels dislocated in their own family, so to speak. And I think, again, you could say, well, lots of people in North America, they feel dislocated in their own community, in their own neighborhood. Yep. And so it's, I think part of what we're trying to do is say, well, we need to bring back the location, right? We got to help people feel connected, part, like feel like they fit with who they're with, so they can do something together for the Great Commission. And I think part of that will be, you know, hopefully working backwards, say, well, we can learn to do this, that we can really help our churches and our communities, sort of like, how do we get relocated?
That's great. So this is the Rural Renewal Podcast. So we're going to bring you back to the rural church, and a lot of our churches, rural churches, are small. So why is Ascent passionate about rural and small churches?
Absolutely. So I'm going to answer those things separately, but I think they have a common core. Okay. So one of the things that we did early on and will continue to do in the development of Ascent is we just looked around and we said, what are the gap areas, right? Like where are we really like swinging and missing in the church in North America? And one of the areas that we identified early on was we are swinging and missing in North America in the rural and small congregations. And I think that honestly, the rural part came first. That was more obvious that this is just an aspect of mission and church life in North America that quite honestly, most people have forgotten about for about at least a couple of decades, to be generous. And I think that even though for many groups, like this is still the bread and butter, like of the gospel in North America, is that, you know, people in small and rural communities have said to me time and time again, the church is one of the only things that's left in our small and rural community. And yet, from a macro perspective in the church, like we've just lost sight of that. We've lost sight that there are still churches, ministries, pastors, leaders, who people still look to and have a centerpiece in the fabric of a community like everyone kind of once had, but they still have. And yet we've lost attention. We've lost focus. We've lost kind of like just the capacity to say, we're going to help resource, support, get behind churches in small and rural towns. Because we think it's just simply smart for the Great Commission and for the growth of the kingdom. And so anyway, we just said, hey, this is a gap area. People aren't paying attention to it. Denominations aren't paying attention to it. The church publishing industry isn't paying attention to it. Conferences aren't paying attention to it. No one is paying attention to our small and rural communities and the life of the gospel among them. And yet it is such a ripe and smart place for us to put our macro energy into the small rural communities. Now, I think one of the things that has emerged from the pandemic is just a recognition that in every type of community, rural, suburban, urban, exurban, and all in between, right, that smaller is the future for the most part. Right. Of course, there are going to always be large churches, And they have an important and vital role to play in the ecosystem of the gospel in North America. And so I think that we got to work in that way too. And that's really vital, right? But from a percentage standpoint, right? 98%, maybe 95% of all churches are smaller in 2024 than they were in 2020. And that is likely to continue. And so I think that part of what we have to do, which once upon a time in North American history, we were good at, but was effective mission and connection with the lifeblood of the small church at the core. And so we've got to relearn some of that. Of course, we have to learn some new things about that. And so I think that's the second part that came along for us, is just to say, well, the smaller church is also an important and vital part of the fabric of the growth of the gospel in North America again, and some strategic, wise opportunities for us to, again, invest in that way. And so that's why we think that the rural church, our small rural communities, have a vital role to play, and that the small church in general, whatever community exists in, has a vital role to play. And of course, there's a lot of overlap between those two things.
Yeah. And as we have just looked around over the course of our ministry and tried to explore finding resources for a smaller, you know, we're in a small church in a rural community, and it is complicated. And there's a lot of, you have to do a lot of translation from a lot of the resources that are there to try to get them to apply, which is fine. I mean, you have to do, obviously, context is always important, even if the resource is targeted at you. But it has been, it's been nice to see the emphasis on trying to really think through the challenges that small churches, that rural churches face, and how they can be empowered to do the vital work that of the gospel that they're doing. So yeah, I think we're very excited about being a part of that and being on board with that. And so excited to see how God's going to use that.
Well, and I think even something like the Rural Renewer podcast with what you guys are doing is just so essential. And again, part of it is there's some amazing things happening in small and rural places, in mustard seed kind of places, right? They're just, the stories are not told. No one's lifting up again, this is part of what we feel like we wanted to do, and even helping to get these things off the ground like this, is to provide a platform where people can tell stories and share ideas and hear what other people are doing in other parts of the country, because there's just amazing things happening. And so I just the other day, I ran into speaking at a conference, and I talked to a leader who, over the course of about 15 or 20 years, had a small little church in a town of 1,000 people. And over 15 or 20 years, about 200 of the people in that town end up becoming part of the life of that church. I mean, that's amazing, yep. Right? It's amazing. Now, you know, if you were to go to Houston, right? And, you know, or Chicago, and think 20% of people are connected to one church, you know, I mean, I'd be like 3 million people, right? So, and that would be all over the world, right? Like, that news would be all over the world. But see, that's part of what we have to lift up around what's happening and in our small and rural communities. So that's why what you guys are doing here is so important.
Thank you.
So can you give us some examples? Like, what are interesting things that are happening with small churches?
Yeah, great. So I think one of the interesting things, it kind of as a generality, that I feel like is happening is because churches are there, because they're smaller and their quote unquote resources are smaller. And what I mean by that, quite simply, is usually financial and sometimes people, right? Smaller number of people. I don't know that that always means their resources are smaller, but that's how people tend to think concretely about this stuff. So because those things are true, I think coming out of the pandemic, I just see smaller churches willing to be more creative, willing to try new things, willing to get to the point of saying, you know what, we really got to do something different. We got to engage our community in a different way. We got to change what we're doing as a church, because they've just gotten to the point where saying, well, what do we have to lose? Or gosh, we really got to do this now. And I think if you're in a situation where you still have 150 or 200 people, like, you can have an illusion that you can just sort of maintain what you have. And people usually do. But I think when you get down to 75, 50s, you're just visible in front of you every week. We've got to keep thinking about how we're going to regrow the gospel and our connection to the community around it. So I think that has pushed, I've seen, especially since coming out of COVID, just a lot of churches willing to say, hey, we're going to risk for something bigger, right? We're going to risk for something new. We're going to take a leap. So for instance, a couple of years ago, I was in the northwestern part of the country and was visiting with a leader who had pastored a smaller congregation that had gotten down to about 12 people. And finally, as he would say, when we got down to about 12 people, I was finally able to convince those 12 people that we really needed to do something different. Like, we've tried all the other things, right? Sort of get people to come back to church as we know it, and they didn't work. People didn't come back. So they ended up shutting down as I'm just going to call it a Sunday morning church. And they relaunched as a Friday evening dinner church. And, a year and some later, they had about 90 people involved in their Friday evening dinner church. About half of them were like new Christians or people on their way to becoming Christian. And many of them were much younger, youth, teenagers, young adults, who were being redrawn to the church because it was having a different expression and it moved times. And so I hear stories like that where people are saying, hey, we really need to finally, we're going to do something different. We just have to pivot into a new reality. I think I've seen and heard of many stories of small churches saying, hey, like, we are going to reopen our building in a way in which we really try to become the center point of this community once again. Like, we may have one of the only public meeting places around. And so this is a place where we can regather the life of the town, the hamlet, depending on where you are, and be the, have a presence again in the life of the whole church community. I met a leader in South Dakota a couple of years ago who, again, the benefits of being bivocational in some cases, he was an auto mechanic and a pastor. And over the course of a couple of years, as he wasn't an auto mechanic, right? And then he became the pastor of the church that he was at. And like many of the people that ended up becoming part of the life of that church and giving their lives to Christ were people whose cars he fixed, right? And so I think there's just so much promise. There's a lot of small churches that realize they can start dinner churches and other kinds of fresh expressions to reach people that aren't going to show up at Sunday morning as they know it. I think there's a lot of quote unquote lay people. I don't love that term, but we know what we mean when we say it. I like to say the everyday people of God, who are kind of stepping more into ministry, who are preaching, who are teaching, as part of the kind of re-engaging of that church community in their particular town. So I think there's just lots of interesting and fascinating things happening all across North America in our small and rural places.
Yeah. I was just thinking as you were saying that about people, and I agree with the term lay person as it's not the greatest way to describe, but one of the realities of us is as kind of our denominational structure for supply preaching has kind of dried up over the years. One of the best parts about that has been more and more people from our congregation have preached. And that's, I think that's actually been a really great cultural change for our church in particular over the years. They hear from Kathleen and I a lot. That's great, but they don't need to hear from us all the time. And people have things to offer. It's really good to see that. And see how that helps engage the congregation. I've actually loved seeing that over the last couple of years. And it's actually started happening even when we don't necessarily need supply preaching, but just when we need it, just as part of the run of what we do as a congregation. That's been great.
Chris, why do small churches need connection?
Yeah, I think they need connection for the same reason that that all churches need connection, because there are sometimes things that we can't do on our own. We can participate in the Great Commission in a way with others that we couldn't achieve ourselves. Ministry is hard, no matter where you are, in most cases. It's a challenging time to be in ministry. And you need that encouragement and that support. It's easier. I do think it's probably easier to get isolated in our small and rural settings. That's normative anyway, but then it's even easier to be isolated as a church leader, in those settings. And so I think we need to have connection for those kinds of reasons. And again, there's the practical aspect of, just a lot of our church structures have lost track of our small and rural congregations. I don't know that they have any ill will about it. It's just that, you know, the resources to give attention to everything that they once did aren't there. And so that's part of why we hope through the Ascent movement is, again, we're reestablishing a connectionalism that isn't bound by polity, that's focused on the Great Commission and the things that we are lacking from a big picture perspective. So I think that's another part of it.
That's great. I think I have definitely felt that isolation before. And I think anything that we can do to make connections and to make or help pastors not feel alone and encourage them to keep going, I think is really vitally important, especially since we have so many pastors who are leaving ministry to do other things, I think, for lots of different reasons. But I think one of them is isolation and not being able to connect with other people. And so I think that's really important.
Kathleen, is that that connection is important, not even just on a pastoral level there, but, you know, as a small church, you probably have some things, hopefully, I'm sure you have some things where God has given you gifts as a small church where you do some stuff that's really amazing, but I'm sure every small church has a lot of things that they can kind of look around and say, boy, I wish we could do something like this. And by knowing and being connected to some of those other churches, you see the bigger picture of what God is up to in not just your community, but in other communities. I think it really does. It's the same reason we come together as individual believers, right? God's up to some neat stuff in my life, but he's up to a lot of neat stuff in other people's lives that I need to see, because it helps me get a bigger perspective for how God is working. And it's not just through the gifts he happens to have given me, but it's through gifts he's given other people that I don't possess. And that connection helps get us away from a sense of scarcity. I think that can be a real big problem in small churches, and helps us to feel, no, this is the place God has put us. He's empowered us for the mission in our particular spot, in our particular way. And this other church over there, they're doing some really neat stuff. We do some of it the same, but a lot of it different. And that's really neat too. So yeah, I think that's really helpful.
Now Ascent is just in its beginnings. And we are starting to roll out some new things. So Gathered to Scatter is one of them. Chris, can you talk to us a little bit about Gathered to Scatter?
Yeah, so it's still April. So next month in Boise, Boise, Idaho, we are working with Fresh Expressions, Mission Northwest, Network of Churches, which kind of has a bunch of churches from Washington to Idaho to Montana and other places in the Northwest. The City Network, which is a city-focused network of churches in Boise itself and in around the Treasure Valley, and others on convening a gathering that is really focused on the everyday congregation, the kind of congregations that we're talking about here that don't have, you know, thousands of people showing up every Sunday. And again, I'll say it, if I was on a podcast talking about large churches, I would make sure to say that the vital aspect of the small church, right? So not that large churches don't have an important role to play. It's just, there's going to be less of them than there used to be. And the lock, stock and barrel of congregations in North America are going to be smaller, right? And so yet most of our attention, resources, books, programming, conferences, initiatives are generally speaking oriented in some way around the larger church and their pastors, right? because sometimes those are the infrastructures where, yeah, right, like a pastor has got 25 hours to give to a sermon because that's their primary role. And that's important in that setting. But, you know, when we're in a smaller setting, you might have five or six, maybe, if not too many people have had a crisis that week. And so we just felt like we just need to, as part of this bigger picture, to give attention to, you know, the everyday congregation, the small and medium-sized church that's trying to be effective and fruitful in mission in North America. And so we're grateful for all of our partners that we've been able to work with for this opportunity in Boise, which I think is just going to be super practical. It's being all led by people who, you know, they're not on the main stage at Exponential, right?
Definitely not.
And they're just on the ground, living it out among their people, in their communities, in their towns, making a difference with the gospel for the kingdom, and have just practical experience to share that with others. And so that's part of what we're hoping to do over this next season, is that we can lift up different gathered to scatter events in different parts of the country that might have a particular feel and flavor based on where they are. For instance, I know there's going to be a little bit of an emphasis on Boise, on the gospel in a post-Mormon context, right? Well, there's some uniquenesses in Utah and Idaho and Washington and places up there that, you know, there is a post-Mormon reality, right? Well, that's not true in Ohio. And so there'll be some differences in each of these, but that's like bread and butter stuff that pastors and leaders, as I've been in Idaho, Washington, other places in the last couple of years, like that's a real present reality, right? So we're excited about that opportunity happening next month, and we'll be glad to try to partner with others around the country to put a gather to scatter event near them if there's interest.
Yeah, and Kathleen and I are both really excited. We're both going to be there. So we're excited to meet some people from the Northwest who we've talked to on Skype or Skype on Zoom. I don't know if anybody uses Skype anymore, but on Zoom or on the phone, it'll be nice to meet, see face to face and to hear some of these stories. I'm really excited about it.
One last question before we close up today. Chris, how can people get connected, more connected to Ascent?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I'd say we are planning on launching a new website this summer. And so that'll be an opportunity. I mean, at this point, if you're listening to this podcast and you're interested in kind of what we're working to do and grow, among rural and small congregations, you could simply email us at info@ascentmovement.org. If you are going to be in Boise, and I hope that some folks listening will be, you can follow up with the folks that are there, and there'll be things talked about there about next steps. And so I'd say just stay tuned for things really kind of going live in a more full way this summer. And if you're interested, just reach out to info@ascentmovement.org.
Well, thank you for taking the time out to talk with us, Chris. We really appreciate it. Rule of Renewal podcast is brought to you by Fresh Expressions and the Ascent Movement. Fresh Expressions is a worldwide movement of everyday missionaries who want to see churches thrive in the places we live, eat, work, and play by leveraging the creativity and endurance of the inherited church. To learn a simple 5-phase process for starting a new expression of church that works in small towns, big cities, and everywhere in between, go to freshexpressions.com/howtostart.
To connect with this podcast, you can email us at podcasts@freshexpressions.com. Rural Renewal Podcast is hosted by Kathleen Blackie and Chris Blackie. It's edited by Joel Limbowen and produced by Kathleen Blackie and Chris Morton. Our senior director is Dr. Christopher Backert.
If you have learned something or been encouraged by this podcast, please help us spread the word. You can give us a review on Apple Music or Spotify and share this episode on social media.
Let us end with this prayer for town and rural area from the Book of Common Prayer. Lord Christ, when you came among us, you proclaimed the kingdom of God in villages, towns, and lonely places. Grant that your presence and power may be known throughout this land. Have mercy upon all of us who live and work in rural areas. And grant that all the people may give thanks to you for food and drink and all other bodily necessities of life. Grant those who labor to produce them and honor the land and water from which these good things come. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen.